Hey everybody, this is, at long last, episode 9 of Dark Pages Podcast, the podcast about the game Dark Souls. We're taking a specific look at mechanical features and how the game teaches you and leads you along.
Yeah, area zone design.
Yeah. This episode is the grab bag episode.
Yeah, we're just gonna talk about all the zones very briefly that didn't deserve their own episode for one reason or another.
Yeah, they're oddballs, they're misfits, they're short, or they just don't have anything interesting in them,
or they're just not finished. Which that's an interesting thing about them, that they put it in the game without finishing it, but it doesn't lend itself to long conversation.
No, nope.
If we're just talking about geography.
We could do some speculation, but we'd rather lament the fact that the Dark Souls remaster was not remastered by From Software.
Yeah. So we're going to go, I guess, roughly in an order that you would go through them in the game, which means the first one would be the depths, right? Which, comes right off a lower burg, past the Capra Demon. This is what would you say about the depths, other than it's dark and it's a maze?
The top layer of it is strange, because I felt like I had stepped out of the game that I was playing and into a Silent Hill or something.
Yeah, there's the butcher.
It's like you're in a restaurant and somebody's chasing you with a cleaver.
So you're going down and down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
That's true of both this. This zone and the following zone, Blighttown, is that you're on a descent in a way that you were not really on an ascent going up to the first bell. But as you're going down to the second, you're going down, down, down. The only thing that you really climb is, on your way up, is that the spiral tower that has the Hovel Knight in it with the Taurus Demon at the top, and then like the stairs up to the cathedral itself. But in this, you're just constantly moving down further. And I think that, like I said, this zone is just a maze.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all of these different passages. They twist back on each other. There are pitfalls and
gross frogs.
Yeah, little basilisks and try to trap you. But I don't think that this zone is doing anything like particularly interesting other than just being a labyrinth.
I still have not learned how the depths work. I just put myself in them and then keep moving until I am at the other end of them.
Yeah, it does. I had the same experience. It had a really, I guess that's praiseworthy, is that it does a good job funneling you through them, even if you have no idea where you're going. As long as you keep moving forward, you're likely to make progress. But like what... I think that the only other zone that I could say is a maze in this game is the catacombs. Feels similarly maze-like. But not to the same degree. And catacombs is clearly, as we talked about on that episode, doing something different.
I feel like the catacombs, you can at least intuit where you're supposed to go. Or you can see where you're supposed to go. Whereas in the depths, you're just in dark corners and hallways.
Yeah, it's a sewer.
You can't,
you have no good... the visibility doesn't exist. Because everything is walls. Like, it's not because it's dark that there's low bad visibility. It's because there just are no windows.
You get a few vantage points out into this just massive hall. And I don't know that you can guess what it is from that. Maybe if you're a longtime video game connoisseur, you might think, I wonder what's going to happen in that massive battle arena.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get there and you fight a thing.
Yeah, the Gaping Dragon itself is, again, like, the arena is nothing to speak of. It is a big open room. Is this what the biggest boss area, like the biggest boss arena of any boss, maybe? I guess Sif might be bigger.
I don't know. Sif at least feels more claustrophobic.
Well, because Sif is, you know, always up in your face.
Yeah. One of the vantage points gives you a crossbow, and you think, hey, that's cool. I can stand up here and just plink away at this thing. But that's not true. Nope. In fact, trying to use the crossbow is going to get you messed up.
So, I'm trying to think, what else? There's some NPCs here. Dumbhall.
You gotta double back, right? Like,
yeah, from the boss, you gotta head back up a little bit in order to get out to Blighttown.
Because the boss, for some reason, has the key. I don't know.
Yeah, it ate it.
I don't know why that makes sense. Is there a reason for that, or is it just, go fight boss now?
I think, so, I don't think that there's ever an explicit reason, but my guess would be that because the hard leather... Yeah, well, my guess is that the hard leather set is in the boss room, just as treasure, and that the dude who was wearing that armor got eaten by the dragon, and he had the key, and so the dragon now has the key.
I don't even know, like, I don't think that there's anything in the game that tells you, aside from, hey, this door is locked, that you need to go anywhere to find the key. So really, you could get there and then set back through the depths and just try
the Blighttown key, right? Literally says swallowed by the gaping dragon in its description.
But like, you don't know that until after you've gotten the key, at which point you don't need to be looking for the key.
Right. And I like how you know this place sucks, the depth sucks, but the Blighttown key itself says, like, man, Blighttown's really bad. Even the people who live in the depths know that how bad it is. So they put that door there and locked it to keep out the Blighttown people. Blighttown's the bad part of town. Well, I guess the depths are the bad part of town. Blighttown's the really bad part of town.
Couple of points about the depths. There's a spot where there's a giant rat. And you can see him from above or the other side of some bars. And that's, you know, big thing, fight it. Probably don't jump down until you're ready, or just throw rocks at it until it's dead.
Anyway, do you wanna talk about Blighttown? Because it's more interesting than the depths, I think.
Yep.
Even though I don't think that there's much more to say about it.
So you keep going through the depths. You kill the gross dragon, get the key. Yeah. Go through this is like a big round. What do you think this was? Do you think it was like a silo?
Who knows?
Like, is this a thing?
I think it was a video game level.
Yeah. Is this what sewers look like? No. A bunch of right angle hallways and then a massive circular tube. Maybe it's just a really big Mario tube.
I've been to a water treatment plant and it does not look like this.
Well, you know, I guess once you get to the bottom of Blighttown, it makes sense that the depths are a sewer. Because that is just where a whole bunch of really gross stuff that constantly hurts you is.
Blighttown is this weird shanty town. It's just like, I don't know how, I don't think that it's structurally sound. I think that it is defying the laws of physics to have all these wooden buildings just stacked up the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
It is a straight restatement of the Valley of Defilement from Demon Souls. Only way less friendly.
Right off the bat, you were mentioning in a previous episode that one thing that Dark Souls does well is subtract some of your tools. Some of the tools out of your toolbox, and in this case, it is mobility. You drop down, and there are some big old ogres with big sticks, and they are on a catwalk that is very, very narrow. And
yep. And there's also a sniper who will hit you if you go out towards them.
Yep. I think you've got to go through two of these club dudes first. But, like, that club's coming down, and
I think once you've engaged them, the sniper can hit you. Okay. Like, they are in range of him.
Those snipers suck, because they deal you a new status ailment, which is poison, but so much worse.
I healed through it in my most recent run, and I felt good. I was like, I didn't have any moss, but I was just like, that I can. I had so much health. I had like 40 points in health or something ridiculous. Wow.
Did you take the spider crest shield?
I was playing Bandit, so I started with it.
Oh, there you go.
But I wasn't using it anyway. I had a... Well, also, I came in the back door.
Yeah,
of course. So that's the other thing about this level, is that you can just skip half of it if you go through a zone that we'll talk about right now, because we only have one sentence about it, Valley of the Drakes. It's a corridor.
Yep.
It's 10 seconds long.
You can come here early, and there's some stuff that's going to wreck you, but there's no reason to fight it.
Yep. It is a 10 seconds is how long you will spend in the Valley of the Drakes.
Unless you want that gear from that zombie dragon half.
Yeah. But there's nothing to say. There's nothing to say about the level design of Valley of the Drakes. It is just a hallway.
Yep. It's like two hallways, and sometimes you can cross between them. But
yeah, back in, I think the most interesting part of the Blighttown burbs is not actually the shantytown that you have to go through with all the snipers and the dogs, but the giant poison swamp at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And the green titanite shard farm.
Yeah. But I think this is interesting just because this is the first place where you encounter water, apart from, I guess, if you fought the Hydra, you'll have seen a very small amount, but you would have just fallen in, probably, and died. This is just like, if we're subtracting mobility, this is the ultimate mobility subtraction.
Yep.
That you just move so slowly through it, and no matter how much poison resist you have, you're going to get poisoned by just the ground here.
Yep.
So I think it's interesting in that you're encouraged to really pay attention to your environment, and you have to fight up by the boss some more of those giants in this muck.
Another set of rocks.
But you're sort of looking, it encourages you to look around and sort of figure out the most efficient pathway through here without staying in the swamp very long.
There's a bunch of stuff out there to lure you, but I don't think any of it's good. Except for a person you can meet if you meet the requirements.
There is a... what's it called? A
slab?
No, I was going to say a firekeeper's soul.
Okay.
That's partway up the elevator that you need to go through the swamp to get to, that leads back up to the Valley of the Drakes.
If you look at just the right angle, there's a dog running in a little hamster wheel, keeping that elevator going.
Yep, and Shiva of the East is down here if you join the Forest Hunters. But yeah, the Quilana NPC is interesting just because she won't show up until you have a level 10 pyromancy glove.
Or have summoned somebody with a level 10 pyromancy glove.
Yeah, someone in your game has to have had it. So she's an entirely missable NPC.
Yeah.
Because if you kill the Bed of Chaos before meeting her, she will not show up.
Hmm.
And she's the only way to get the best pyromancy glove.
There's a bonfire here, and it's very easy to miss because you're coming down and there's so much to see in this massive open space.
Yeah, there's so much to do, so much to see. So is Quillag's domain a separate zone? I guess it is, right? It's got like its own title card.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boss room. Quillag's domain is a boss room and a covenant.
Yep.
But on the other side, you get to go, you can hack through some invisible walls to get to the Great Hollow.
Yeah, and that's sure a waste of time.
I just replayed the Great Hollow.
Hmm.
It was longer than I remember. It was way longer than I remember. But it's just...
More vertical.
It's moving downwards more and more and more and more and more. You can continue this downwards trend. But unlike the other one where you're trying to fight through and just sort of make steady progress, this is just judging how far you can fall without dying at a time.
Yeah. Then you get to the bottom and there's a big open space.
Yep. There's some mushroom men that will ruin you if they touch you.
Huh.
Yeah, you get to Ash Lake, which is another hallway.
Yep. There's sort of an interesting thing. You've at least seen a Hydra at this point. You may have fought a Hydra.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. This is just that fight again, except the Hydra can hop around from side to side, which adds another layer of complexity.
There's also no reason to ever engage this Hydra.
Yeah, And near to the end, there's another NPC for another Covenant.
Yeah, the only thing that is... potentially weird about this zone is that there's a tree partway through that you can go into, and there's nothing in there. I mean, I guess there's like some treasure in there and some enemies, but there's very little reason to go in there. But you may think that that's the end of the zone if you don't look and see that there's a sand path that goes around the back.
Huh.
And the Hydra can get to you in there. I mean, it can't hit you, but it will just camp outside the entrance and make your life really frustrating.
Good.
So this is a trap.
Yep. Then there's a bonfire, which is also a trap if you don't have the Lord Vessel.
Ooh. Yup. And that's the end of this zone.
Yep.
What's funny is that the music cue in this zone is tied to being able to see the arch trees. So you can adjust your camera angle to make it play the beginning of the music cue and then cut it back, cut out, and then play it again and then cut out by rapidly moving the camera around when you enter the zone.
Nice.
So she goes, bah, 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 because it will never get to the second note.
This was hidden behind two hidden walls, wasn't it? You break down a hidden wall and there's a chest, and then there's just...
This, I think, like, this zone is like the anti... Dark Pages podcast zone.
Yeah.
Because it is entirely a thematic zone and not at all a gameplay zone.
Yeah. How do you justify that that double secret wall? That's very Super Metroid, right? You break into a reward secret room where you're being rewarded for finding out the secret room. And then you just keep going on through and break through another secret wall.
Anyway, from Quillag's domain... From Quillag's domain, you get to
Metroid Pages podcast.
Yeah, you get so the Demon Ruins is weird because it's not a zone until you kill the boss and then all of the lava drains out.
I'm trying to remember if there's a speedrun strat where you can just tough it out, but I think it's just impossible. You can't. Far.
It's not even that it's far, it's that the lava level is too high. Like, you'd have to go, you'd have to fully immerse yourself in the lava and just go down and down and down and down. It's like, speaking of Metroid, it's like Metroid 2 in the acid. It's like trying to get through.
Oh, where the heck is this centipede demon? I was trying to place that.
Centipede demon is in Demon Ruins.
All right. Well, yeah, just my inner geography just dealt with that guy and immediately forgot about it.
Demon Ruins has three bosses, which is maybe the most of any zone in the game. Thinking about it.
Sif, Hydra,
without a zone.
Butterfly?
Hydra's not a boss.
Oh.
There's no fog wall for the Hydra. But yeah, you... See, there's very little to this zone. Again, it's just a couple of hallways and a huge open area filled with dragon butts.
Gosh. Yep.
There is a shortcut to Lost Izalith. But yeah, the bosses here are Centipede Demon, Ceaseless Discharge, and then Demon Fire Sage at the end.
Yep. The Demon Fire Sage, which is just a recolor.
Yep. This is the first of the zones that wasn't really done.
Yeah.
It's not got a lot of exploration to it. It is a geographically huge zone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because of the Dragon Butt Lava Pool and the opening area where you fight Ceaseless Discharge after it drains is also huge. But there's nothing there. There are some enemies, and they don't respawn when you kill them, and there's nothing there.
I think there's like a slab.
Other than the... Well, there's some treasure. There's the Chaos Flame Chaos Flame Embers down, but it just does not justify the size of the geography. They are not using it for anything. You know, Lost Izalith is like, if this zone is unfinished, Izalith is even more unfinished.
Mm.
Because I think technically the Dragon Butts... Dragon Butts are technically part of Izalith, right? I think it's like zone transition, bonfire, and you are in the room with the Dragon Butts.
Hmm.
But these two zones are so similar. And if we said Demon Ruins is a hallway, Izalith is even more of a hallway. It's that giant open space, and then it is a straightaway up to the boss.
Hmm.
There's just so little here, which is kind of upsetting, right? Like, this could have been really cool.
Yep.
This is...
There's like a tree root that you can run up. I don't know that it leads anywhere.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this is that this could have been the parallel to Anor Londo. Mm-hmm. They're both huge ruined cities. In the way that the burg and the parish, that's ruined, but it's not in, you know, it's not an abandoned metropolis. That's like, you know, a suburb of Anor Londo. This is its own country, basically.
Yeah.
And it could have been something really cool, but it's just a nothing. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Yep. There's the only mechanical feature is that progress here is gated by you having to have killed a boss that you had to have gone through in order to get here. So it's not even an, an interesting choice that you're making. You just, you've got to be wearing the ring or else you die immediately standing in lava.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, so this isn't the first time that the game gates access to a thing with a ring, because you couldn't fight the four kings without the ring. Did we talk about New Londo? We haven't talked about
New Londo. We have not yet, talked about New Londo.
So we'll get there next, because it ties in that way. Yeah, New Londo Water Park opens today. But it's like the rusted iron ring with water, except for it's for lava.
Yep.
It is weird and janky and unfinished as a concept, the way that the rest of the zone is.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, let's, it'd be cool if we got them to cross this giant lava field. How are we going to do it? Well, we're just gonna give them this thing that they have to wear. We're going to penalize them on equipment slot.
I feel like they were going for, I don't know, like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing where they're running away from water droplets because a single raindrop could pulverize. You're supposed to feel tiny here, and there are these just massive, enormous things that could squash you without even thinking about it.
They also are not hostile unless you get real close to them.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, that's relatively close, right? That's probably proportionally the same distance. No, not proportionally. It's probably the same distance away from the center of those creatures as, say,
how the close you need to be for a hollow, regular hollow.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas these things are huge, and that should have been multiplied by, 30 or whatever.
So, you wanna move to New Londo?
Yep.
New Londo I like a lot, actually, for the first half of it.
Yep.
I don't like it once you drain the water, because it's not a fun water park anymore. But it's got no bonfire, which means that you kind of have to do it all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
Or, once you've drained it, that's a checkpoint of sorts.
And you need to just keep pouring quarters in. It's so hungry.
Yeah, it's a real drain on your resources to keep those curses coming. Although it does actually give you a lot of free curses if you know where they are. But you gotta know where they are.
Hmm.
That's what I said. This zone, again, not particularly interesting in its layout. Kind of similar to the depths in that it's a bunch of hallways.
Yeah.
But it's not even a maze. It's just
a gauntlet.
The enemies can move through walls and you can't hurt them.
It's just a gauntlet.
Yeah, it's much more trying to be hard, like be Dark Souls hard in the way that the depths were not.
The interesting thing here mechanically is that walls aren't an obstacle for the enemies. Whereas in every other part of the game, you can just duck behind something and not be hit. They'll just walk, float right through the walls and hit you with their weird fingernails.
And they have very long range. Yep. Their grabs are huge. They can grab you through the wall. So,
and they will.
It just feels like it's a zone where you're, much more than any other zone, you have to really trial and error to get through this. Because there is no way at all that you will know where the enemies are before they're attacking you. And this isn't even like they blow open a door that you've walked past. They could come from the ceiling, they can come from the floor, they could have three of them coming at you at once, and there is no way that you will be prepared. Other than just being wary in general.
And having that sorcery crown that shoots off in every direction whenever it...
Homing soul mass?
Yeah.
I guess. I played through this most recently as a melee character, so it was actually quite easy. My sword killed the ghost in one hit. But I still had to watch out for them.
Yep.
And then once you drain the water, it's sort of a larger open area with a couple houses full of dark wraiths.
It's kind of ridiculous, the aesthetic down there.
Blobs and skulls.
No, there's like, I don't know. What do you think the population of New Londo would have been?
Couple thousand.
All right. Was the population high enough that once all of them had died and drowned and sunk to the bottom, they would have formed a, like, I don't know, 30-foot deep, wall-to-wall, single solid mass of gross bloated corpse?
You fight a couple of those things.
No, I mean just like the floor that you're walking on is just...
And you're not... There is further down faces and bones in this and that you don't go to. Have you read Uzumaki? It's the Junji Ito long, like, actual book length.
Then no.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a very Uzumaki-type area down here. You should read that, by the way. It's very, very good. And then do we have any zones left? I guess we just have the DLC, which is the forest again. And then a town again.
Oh, the kiln. We can do kiln.
Oh yeah, the kiln, another hallway.
Yep.
So I guess that's it. That's Dark Souls. Like, these zones... I want to make it clear that we're not dumping on these zones, except for maybe Demon Ruins and Izalith. Yeah, although, like, I didn't hate playing through those zones, but this is a thing that is true. These are almost all of them late-game zones. And it really just shows that this is a very front-loaded game. The first half of it is much more interesting and elaborate and well thought out than the second half.
Yep.
And I think that the zone design directly speaks to that. And I don't think that that's a new revelation, that the first half of Dark Souls is better than the second half. I think that's pretty common consensus. But I'm not sure that a lot of people have enumerated why, outside of just pointing at Izalith and saying, Izalith sucks. But, like, actually, it's not just Izalith. It's almost every late-game zone, if you put the actual geography of those zones next to the wireframe of the early zones, there's just not nearly as much going on. And I think if you look at even the two early game zones that we talked about today, which are Blighttown and the Depths, they, even though if they're not doing anything particularly interesting in comparison to the ones that we've covered on other episodes, they are still way more elaborately laid out. The Depths is a huge maze. Blighttown is enormous and has two separate halves to it, each one doing something different.
Yeah, this is just an aesthetic note, but... it's quite a feeling being lost in Blighttown and looking out over nothingness and seeing the bonfire on the bridge and just desperately wanting to be able to get there from where you are, but not being able to figure out how.
Blighttown, I think, is the make or break moment for this game for a lot of people. Right. I think that
for your video card, anyway.
Not anymore. Hey. It's all better now. I never had frame rate issues in Blighttown.
I think I dropped from, like, 60 to 40 or something.
Yeah, maybe I did, and I just couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell the difference between anything higher than 30. But I think that, like, a reasonably dedicated gamer person could get to Blighttown with enough effort. I think Blighttown is the point where the difficulty is just like, all right, here's Dark Souls, buddy. Like, good luck. This is the worst.
You prepared to die, right?
Yeah.
It says so on the tin.
Well, not anymore. Now it says remastered.
Hmm.
So that's the last episode for this show in terms of covering the actual zones. We've got one more episode coming up after this one, or final episode.
Yeah,
special guest. We've got a special guest on that episode. Special guest. Who is that?
Special guest Ryan Eich, the composer for the intro music to Dark Pages podcast.
Yes, also composer for games such as... West of Loathing, Gunpoint, and Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. Ryan is a consummate professional, very highly talented musician who was generous enough to write us some music for this show, and will be joining us on the very last episode to talk about music in the Souls games. Specifically the first one, not the entire franchise.
We dip into Majula.
Yeah, we talk a little bit about the other games incidentally, but the focus is on, like, this show, just for Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
I also want to thank our Patreon backers
for
supporting this incredibly long season of Dark Pages podcast. We couldn't have done it without your continued support. So thank you, Patreon backers. All right. Well, then what do we say to end these episodes?
Not today.
You and this land are one.